Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we go ahead and let you know about the latest news and trends in pop culture every Monday and every Friday with new episodes wherever you get your podcasts, including the latest one we dropped today, talking about Morbius, Bruce Willis, and so much more. So check it out today. Plus also as well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great guys at LakersBall.com. Be part of the Game Time conversation with Ox1947. And everyone else at LakersBall.com. Plus our good friends at LakerHolics.com. Be part of the conversation there today at LakerHolics.com. And also our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can support all that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, we thought after going through some tough losses in the middle of the week, it's going to be okay because we are going to go ahead and go home, go back home to the Crypto.com arena, and have LeBron James and Anthony Davis back from injury, back in the starting lineup, and back on the winning trail. And for a little while, at least, it looked like that could possibly happen. The Lakers were competitive throughout, actually held small leads from time to time, never was able to stretch out the lead too far. But unfortunately, old habits with this team seemingly never die, as the Lakers, unfortunately, could not execute down the stretch. And despite a scintillating return by LeBron James with 38 points, including 20 points in the third quarter, and a not too bad return for Anthony Davis with 23 points and 12 rebounds, unfortunately, it wasn't enough, as there was not enough support for the for those two, as the Lakers just couldn't provide enough good execution down the stretch, mistake after mistake after mistake on both ends of the floor, and they let the New Orleans Pelicans get out of the Crypto.com arena with a close win for the Pelicans at 114-111. Unfortunately, it was close, but no cigar for the Lakers, as again, they could not execute down the stretch. But here today to talk about this game, the fact that the Lakers are now firmly entrenched in 11th place in the Western Conference. Now, for all intents and purposes, two games behind San Antonio for 10th place in the Western Conference. But here today to talk about the game. First up is the guy behind LakerHolics.com. Please go ahead and be part of LakerHolics.com and that conversation going on each and every day at LakerHolics.com. Check out his latest article right there on the front page at LakerHolics.com. It is Laker Tom and Laker Tom. I know you were the quintessential cheerleader for the Lakers. You just said, where do we get AD back? Where do we get LeBron back? And everything will be okay. And unfortunately, as we just saw again and again, the same problems throughout the entire season that have plagued us in that fourth quarter came up once again.
Well, it's 1-2-3 Cancun for the Lakers at this point in time, because they got nowhere else to go but on vacation and going fishing. Yeah, isn't it ironic that it doesn't matter who we put out there? Somehow we always play down or up to the other team's level, but just not quite good enough to win. you know, it was just really disappointing, you know, because at times you saw LeBron play well, at times you saw AD play well, but there's something fundamentally missing from this team, you know, and it's just a spark or a chemistry that just doesn't work. And, you know, in some ways, you know, I don't know whether Frank was trying to sabotage the team or actually try to save his career, but, you know, his whole lineups and so forth are all so crazy, you know, the way he went back to Avery Bradley.
I knew you would say something about that.
Well, you know, the big problem we have is we don't have any continuity. Nobody's played with everybody they're going to be playing with. We don't have any stability. There's no set lineups and roles for players, you know? And at some point in time, you have to understand that the chances of you hitting gold with some lineup, and frankly, Frank has tried every possible combination that you could imagine out there. And the idea that you could all of a sudden hit gold late in the season instead of going out there, Frank basically just said, the hell with it, I'm going to play big. That's the way I like to play, and the damn with the results, you know, I don't care at this point in time. And there's an awful lot of that, and that whole attitude has permeated the team, you know. I was pretty harsh on Joe the other day talking about leadership and when he was criticizing LeBron, and I'm going to take exception for those comments.
I think you've been gentle with Joe.
I think there's something to be said for the lack of leadership that we've had. The leadership that we've had this year from our superstars the last 2 years, and part of it is because those superstars have been injured, you know, as hasn't been the leadership we had in the bubble, you know. And that just goes to show how hard it is to win a championship, because you do have to have a lot of things going right, and chemistry, those unknown things that just can really, chemistry and continuity and just a sense of confidence that everybody knows their roles and there's no conflict on this team. People are still fighting for minutes. Everybody's fighting for minutes. And with Frank, you don't know whether you're going to get a shot or not. And there's a good chance that if you once were in his good graces, that you'll once again get your opportunity. And I don't know how you win in that situation, you know. I mean, LeBron and AD, frankly, probably played better than we could have expected for them coming back from injury. And the one big plus is they didn't get injured. But we've only got, you know, we've only got 5 games left and we're 2 games down, you know. So we're going to have to win all 5 games. If we don't win all 5 games, we're probably not going to make the playoffs. And right now, when you look at this team, what's the 6 in a row that we've lost? Thinking that they're going to go on a 5-game win streak is pretty hilarious. I'll take that bet if anybody wants to bet on the Lakers getting a 5-game win streak going.
Well, no. I tell you what, right? It was just very disappointing to see, indeed. And I just wanted to mention before Joe comes on the air that the whole entire momentum for the past 10 days that Russell Westbrook has earned as far as his play is concerned. And people were saying, maybe you shouldn't be so hard on Russell Westbrook. And maybe you should go ahead and reevaluate your thoughts on Russell Westbrook, because he's been playing pretty good over the past few games, even though the Lakers have been losing. Well, say goodbye to that momentum. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Because he played awful until the fourth quarter. And as for Malik Monk, just couldn't get enough either. So, again, it was just an AD and LeBron show. And, unfortunately, they were both tired out by the fourth quarter, and their execution was very poor. Basically, the whole team, again, late in that fourth quarter, just couldn't get it done. But here today to talk about the game is a man who's really got – his face says it all right there. No shades. There's no movie playing behind him. He is Ox 1947, a.k.a. Joe Sorrell from LakersBall.com. Joe, great to have you here. You look like you're about ready to rip my head off, so I will just shut up and let you talk.
Well, we've talked ourselves into believing things that are not true. I'm not blaming Tom. I'm not blaming
He's
anybody.
He's been doing that for years.
I'll take the blame.
We love him for it.
Real leaders take blame when it's not their fault. That's what a real leader does, right? So as Laker fans, we need to take the responsibility of how lackluster this team has been all year. And as far as the Russell Westbrook issue, it wasn't so much about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, I made it very clear that after that Toronto situation with the fan, I actually had had enough of tearing down another human being like that. I think it had gotten to a point where it really started getting personal, and I even felt pathetic for even being as brutal as I was, even though I only really meant it on the basketball side of things. So in terms of the Russell Westbrook thing, while everyone else was doing jumping jacks and, you know, doing, you know, little circles with, you know, holding hands with everyone, Russell Westbrook was still terrible on defense, terrible on team defense. Stats don't really mean anything in the NBA anymore. I think I've said this a few times. There's no leadership. When one guy goes out, the other guy doesn't really do anything either. It's not like, okay, well, Russell Westbrook is now going to handle the ball and he's going to dictate what's going to happen. No, he doesn't even do that. That which is what I thought would be the benefit in having him, is LeBron would sit and then he could have the ball half the game and do his Mighty Mouse routine. Unfortunately, we didn't see that. We didn't see it ever. We will never see it. We're five games away from burying this disaster. And as far as the leadership, yeah, it's a top to middle to bottom, probably the worst I've ever seen as a Laker fan. Again, I'm not going to criticize the teams between 14 and 19, or I should say 14 and 18, because there were circumstances that created that I still am not very happy with, that would not have happened had it not been sabotaged. But that's a story for another day. This is by far the worst Laker team I've ever watched. By far. It is, even during this whole game. They couldn't stop a freaking one-year-old baby trying to crawl. They just could not do jack diddly poo as...
How did that baby get loose? How did that baby get loose?
Jim Morris said it best, diddly poo, because that's the easiest way to put it on a family show. That's it. They couldn't stop diddly poo. Didn't matter whether it was Ingram. Didn't matter if it was I mean, come on, guys. Where the other teams have been talking smack in your face, a lot of nobodies too, and they haven't done anything about that. They're going to do anything now with, you know, five games left? No, man, this is it, guys. This is it. LeBron is going to maybe go after the scoring title.
Yeah, he needs two more games.
Yeah, maybe the scoring title. AD is going to – if you're looking at numbers, okay, he had a good game, but he was terrible in every phase that matters, which is no missed open shots. The team defense, his individual defense was not good. There was just nothing good. There's nothing good about this team. It needs to die. And that's it. That's just the way it's got to be, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing an extermination after this year. And I don't have any feeling for anybody on this team other than AD and LeBron to come back. Everyone else, bye. Vogel, Handy. I don't care who. If Rob Pelinka comes up 2 hours after the 82nd game and says everyone's out, I'd be like, good.
Then he needs to go with him.
Yeah, my problem started in that realm of the universe, but yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I think that I am in agreement with you, Joe, that this is, well, we've said this for weeks now, that, you know, we need to go the route of Jack Nicholson, the Joker.
It's Groundhog's Day. I feel like
needs an enema. Whole team needs an enema.
It is the most Groundhog Day season ever. I feel like I'm just repeating. I'm just a parrot. Repeating everything, every freaking game.
That's why you look so wasted.
But I'm trying to.
I don't mean that as far as you drinking too much. I'm just saying.
Well,
just
see, like, when, you look like, you know, you've had enough. Maybe it's my hair. You guys don't like it nice and poofy?
Just seeing it in your face.
No, wait. Let it grow. Let it grow,
right? Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about growing it and maybe.
Well, being I was blonde when we started the season.
I was thinking maybe I'd grow it out like Aaron Rodgers for Halloween and playing a much more buff John Wick, but I don't know. We'll see if I have the patience to grow my hair that long. But
buff John Wick should definitely be a thing.
Yeah. Again, I don't
spread out his hair though.
Yeah. Again, I go through phases. Sometimes I'll spike it. Sometimes I'll let it be dry. Sometimes it'll be wet. It's just one of those things. It's my thing. You know, it's like I like doing it. Listen,
hair's going to make for a better topic of conversation.
It could be worse. I could have that shoehorn thing growing that a lot of my friends have. Luckily, God spared me that disaster because I don't think I'd look good bald.
Give it another season with the Lakers like this. Who knows?
I did get more gray hair, though, this year. I do a little bit of coloring, but not too much. But, you know, it does get a little white right around here.
Well, again, you're way up on me then, Ski. You still got a lot more left.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
could
get
here's
the cell
copy.
Phone version that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand. That version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want to. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, the Lakers do fall 114-111 to the New Orleans Pelicans. They're now 31-46. They're a game behind in the statistics as far as the overall Western Conference race. They're 11th place. But since they lose the tiebreaker, you got to assume right now that they're just going to have to be two games behind the San Antonio Spurs. Right now, again, out of the play-in, and things are looking bleak. They don't even own their draft pick. So right now, it's really not looking good for us Lakers fans. But here today to hopefully save the day is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing at LakerHolics.com. I've set him up for failure. I'm so sorry for that.
I was going to say.
I know. You saved the day.
Save the troll, Jamie.
Yeah, well, that's on the team,
it
man.
It is Jamie, you know, sweet. Admiral Akbar in the flesh, Mr. Five Things. Read his Five Things articles right there for you. It was a trap for the Lakers, but then again, every day is now seemingly a trap this season.
We're the trap team, but we can't even do that right. Joe said something. We've been convincing ourselves to believe something that was never there. And I remember thinking once the All-Star break hit, like, it's always going to look different in the first game back. And they looked exactly the same as they'd looked all season long. And that was basically when I was like, it's over. This is
and
over.
Tonight they looked exactly the same as they have all season long.
Well, I mean, you know, not to beat a dead horse to the ground, but it is only one game. But it's the one game that is, you know, it's been a death by a thousand
of the year.
It's been a death by a thousand cuts because that excuse has been used. I mean, it's okay when like we say it here, right? We don't matter. Just, we're unimportant people, right?
All these different components playing well, Jamie. I mean, Malik Monk playing well for the past week plays.
Today. I mean, that's Russell Westbrook.
It's the coaching.
Can I say something, guys?
It's a lot because we just brought in a huge piece in Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and all those guys flourished when they were out. So to me, that's not so crazy. But there's nothing. I mean,
we have nobody to go to for guaranteed points.
We have nobody.
I think it's deeper. I think it's deeper, guys. I think it's deeper, and I don't think
we're
realizing.
I'll bring you back on, Jamie, here in a second. Go ahead, Jamie.
But I'm sorry, Jamie. Let me just say this real quick. I think you guys really need to focus on the fact that the pressure of playing in LA as a Laker is extremely exhausting. It takes a certain player. It takes a certain mentality. I mean, Jerry West went mad back in the day, okay? And he's still mad. And you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I know his personality and his lifestyle was a certain way, but even, you know, Kobe's a psychopath. He could handle right. it. Shaq could handle it because he's just crazy good.
Right.
He doesn't care. So I think we have to understand. LeBron has the ability to go through that. That's the one guy that could handle it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he can necessarily handle it in a sense where he could lead people who aren't mentally tough either. I just don't think we're factoring that in. I think AD is worn out, guys. I think AD is worn out playing in LA. This is too much pressure. This is too much. I got to be good every minute of every day. And he's not like that. He's a very lax guy.
LeBron, and Russ is worn out too.
Russ just wants to get his triple doubles and go home. He doesn't care about winning. He just doesn't care about winning. And I think that's something we have to understand, that there's not everybody wants to win. They just want to play, make their money, and go home. Russell Westbrook is that's the guy. He says it all the time too, but we don't want to listen. At this point, Rob, Jeannie, whoever is going to call the shots here, have to understand that if they don't bring Laker players here, you're not going to get through this next year, even next year. So you got to be really careful, and you got to have the right leader leading them off the bench. And if LeBron doesn't want to listen to the next coach, then this thing is going to be toast. LeBron's going to get the scoring title next year, and I'm fully expecting, if he doesn't sign an extension by August 8th, it's very likely it's his last year.
Careful, Laker Thomas is peering over you. I just
I do miss the look.
Yes. I love it when Laker Tom always tries to accentuate a point. He'll always get closer to the camera and also closer to the mic.
So Laker Tom is the face. You're the hand, yes. And Jamie is the guitar.
I'm the brains. That's the problem here.
The footnote. I feel like more like the footnote of this whole thing.
You're not the Jamie, footnote. Go ahead, you're the conduit. Look, I mean, like
I'm the amp.
I'm not going to beat this. We can beat this team up as much as we want at this point, right? Like, and we have. Like, they deserve it. They've played terrible for most of the year, and the record shows that, and their positioning in the playoff seating shows that. And this will be the definition of a wasted year at the end of the season, because we don't have a pick, so losing games means nothing. And all we're really doing, I believe, is helping New Orleans draft stock, which they look they don't have. They've got zero talented young players. So
we're helping New Orleans, and we're hurting Memphis.
And frankly, to be honest, this is, I feel like, karmic retribution for the way a lot of things went down for us to get AD, the way a lot of things went down for Jeannie. Like, these actions speak to, they need Phil Jackson to come through with some sage, man. We got to blow the bad spirits away. Like, I don't mean to do a role. I mean, just to like walk through for like a day. I don't mean to have any kind of job title. Like, Phil's 8,000 years old and should be put down in a museum.
Maybe just light some scented candles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, roll through the locker room. Like, he never got a chance to bless crypto, right? That's the problem here. Like, you know, we changed the name of the state. Like, everything about this season has gone wrong.
Before we even changed.
It's a curse.
And PPP, you know where it started, Jamie? The PPP loan.
It started. Yes. That's true. All of these little things, right?
Till this day. I went off. Laker Tom was here when I went off on that. And he knows but how bad I was.
But I'm a small business, and I didn't even fill one of those out. I refused to fill one of those out. That was pretty pathetic, actually.
It was absurd. But it's endemic.
See, Laker Tom, it is a big deal. I remember I was like, yeah, it's not that big a deal. Yes, well, it is a big deal.
But it's not in and of itself a big deal. I mean, I'm sure plenty of businesses, like, you know, the Lakers are super high profile. I'm sure plenty of businesses filed for it that didn't need it. And that's the beauty of capitalism in America.
It's not about the principle. It's about the...
It is about the principle, actually. It is about the principle of saying, I'm a big business. I don't need that money. There's somebody out there.
I meant technicality. I'm sorry. I didn't mean principle. I meant technicality. The thing is, that tells you who you...
Right.
Sometimes the little things in life will tell so much about who you are. And... You know, it's not just that. I mean, they stopped Jerry West's season tickets, right?
This is what I'm saying. I've been saying this for a while.
One after another.
This is a problem. Right. When looked at individually, each of these is like, all right, okay, whatever. But like when you put them all in a box and look at them, you're like, what is going on here?
They had Kareem statues facing in the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah, I know, mean, right? Right.
Really?
Everybody's statue should be like, you know, but there's just a...
That's a beautiful statue, by the way.
It is a beautiful statue. All the statues are pretty classic. I like the chick one. I like because you can sit next to it and hang out with chick. It's not bad. The only thing is that they should... At Disneyland, no, it doesn't look like chick. But it was the first one. I feel like they were kind of like, "Oh, how do we do this?" And they're like, "Oh, we really should make it look like the person, shouldn't we? We should pay whatever that little bit of extra is." But you know, but I mean, a lot of this speaks to questions that we may never get satisfactory answers to. Like, what is the liquidity issue that faces the Buss family that they feel the need to apply for PPE loans, that they feel like they can't spend on players that matter?
$10 million houses.
But these are right, exactly. And so these are
six people.
This is the problem.
11% of the organization.
And this isn't going away with a Russell Westbrook trade. This isn't going away with a. It's
their
not
net
going
worth
away
is $3.6 billion if you combine all.
Yeah, but
six
if
of
you
the
if
kids.
You if you grew up cheap, you live cheap. You know, I know
compare
people
that to $100 billion for Ballmer. You know,
I know old timers who made it through World War II who still save the crackers from the soup, and they don't need crackers from the soup. Like they don't need the crackers from the soup. And
you
so
can get
this
$6 billion from it.
Right. If they have a liquidity problem, this is maybe their last best chance in the next 10 years to get decent money. They should have sold it right after the champion. But
I think Forbes has it rated right around $5 billion, but I think they could get six. I think they could go over value on
it. But anyway, I mean, we'll likely miss the play-in. I thought.
Thank God.
I mean, but it's again karmic justice, right? Because what did LeBron do last season? Rant and rave against the plan that actually he used to get into the playoffs at all. And here we are, year
that
two.
Stuff always happens to him, too.
Oh, yeah,
it's always pie in the face with him. That's why he frustrates you sometimes. And then he even tweeted about how. Oh, keep talking bad things.
Oh,
keep
talking
bad things. I'm like, well,
and then deleted it because he was like, that might come back to
and
bite
those
me
who
in
delete
the,
messages. That's right. Another. That's another sign about
whatever
who people really are.
Whatever. Yeah, listen, the Twitterverse remembers it. It saw it for 1.8 seconds. It remembers, so it doesn't matter how quickly you did it. If anybody saw it, it lives on in infamy for forever. Nobody's going to like to hear this, but because there are so many poor moves that we can make this summer, I will not be surprised. I mean, the cast of veteran minimum characters will certainly change and should. I don't even know that I would keep Melo or Dwight at this point. They're both pretty old. And this is a young man's game, and we're seeing Frank play the young guys. And unfortunately, they're just not talented. You know, like we got like five go-get-em grit guys, and you need like maybe two of those on a team, on a championship team. I wouldn't keep anybody. Obviously we have Stanley Johnson under contract and we have, you know, a few players under contract, but I mean, Kendrick Dunn has the bone
guys in this summer for whatever we can get for them.
Everything makes
none.
Everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. Look at you. You look at Gabriel, you look at Stanley, you look at Monk, you look at Melo to a degree, it's okay because, you know, you kind of knew what you were going to get with him. But let's just say those first three, two of them weren't even in the league for a minute. And then Monk was discarded. Nunn, which was intriguing, got a lot of talent, but now we know why Miami didn't care. So, again.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. He was on Miami, but was in Charlotte.
No, I'm talking about Nunn.
Oh, Nunn. Okay.
Yeah, Nunn. I know he's been gone the whole year. And, you know, like something else. I feel like something's going on with that thing. Are you telling me this is all just a bruise, the bone? Really?
He's been ruled out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was lighting it up in practice the other day. Come on, guys. Like,
something else going on. This whole team is fractured. It's debilitated. It's just end it and tell everyone to go. I would just tell everyone to go.
Laker Tom, any thoughts before we hit the NCAA Final Four?
Yeah.
And then Jamie, I'll get back to you as well.
Say, Tom, I agree with you that I think we will trade just about everybody, but we will try. We'll try. What we get back for him is questionable, but we'll try.
Yeah, that's a big question because basically the problem is that all of those, quote, trading pieces, whether they're Russell Westbrook or Taylor Norton Tucker or Kendrick Nunn or even they've all played so poorly that they basically have turned themselves into trade fodder.
I mean, Killer. THT had a coach's, did not play coach's decision tonight, right? Like,
you know, I mean,
biggest game of the year. the guy we invested $10 million in over this other guy.
Think about this game, and you can almost go back to every single game we played this year. Every team we played, just like this team, they had two guys, Brandon Ingram and C.J. McCollum, who can get a basket anytime they want. A lot more confident that they could get a basket than LeBron James and Anthony Davis could based upon the offense that we're running. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's part of the problem. Every team you go to, you know, I felt the same thing that Joe has mentioned, that we're in a transition period. This is the end of the line for LeBron James and that group of players. And those young kids that are coming up, the Trays and the Jaws, and man, those kids are going to rule the roost. And so you still got these great superstars and so forth, but our superstars basically aren't the kind of guys. They don't have the killer instinct that Kobe had and that MJ had, that, you know, they're going to get that last basket. We're going to win this game for sure because I'm going to get that last basket. And age and injuries, you know, slow you down. And, you know, I didn't think these guys looked like they were washed. It looked like these are two guys who just came back in after being injured, and they're playing with limited athletic ability just because they're injured and they don't have their conditioning and so forth. They're playing in an offense that's just so terrible. It's just ridiculous the way that and Vogel's lineups and rotations. Nobody has any sense of what is asked of them every game, and it's like rolling craps every single time you go down there. So the only thing good is that I remember last year that there were several deals that we were close to making, whether it was trading for Christian Wood or there were a couple Kyle of Lowry. Other deals we're talking to. Every one of them was failed because we wouldn't give up that draft pick. And I never saw anybody come.
And THT.
Yeah, and the idea that this is a 2027 first-round pick from the Lakers, well, nobody complained about the quality of that pick. And the good thing this year is we've got two picks because we did show some restraint and we didn't waste that pick at the trade deadline. So we've got two picks, and we've got a $47 million expiring contract, which has a lot of value to teams that want to raise cap space. So Rob's got to pull the ticket and use those two picks to and that expiring contract to and all of the filler that he's got, which is enough to bring back three starters. And he's got to come back with at least two starters for next year, because none of the guys that we got, nobody else that we added to this team after LeBron and AD is really a championship caliber starter in the NBA.
I mean, you even saw someone like Malik Monk, who has shown flashes of really good offense. Unfortunately, tonight he was targeted several times by the New Orleans Pelicans and unfortunately could not handle that side of the floor, which will always be to his detriment and unfortunately will probably keep him from being a frontline starter consistently for the rest of his career unless he gets that area of his game shored up, which is going to be sad because he does have some unique talent. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But again, the Lakers do fall in a game that was very close. The Lakers had a chance to win, but execution down the stretch, like all year long, they couldn't get it done, and they end up losing. Once again, they end up losing indeed 114-111. But before we head on out, and before we talk about when we're going to be appearing next, we're going to be talking the NCAA Final Four, because the Final Four hits tomorrow night with Duke and UNC. And Kansas and Villanova. So some prime time matchups. As Joe always says, always go for the chalk. Always bet on the favorites. So four big institutions are back in the Final Four. Joe, I'll start it with you, my friend. Hopefully this will provide a little bit cheerier conversation for you. Because you, like I said earlier, you know, you kind of looked a little bit down. So hopefully this will cheer you up a little bit. So no. Your thoughts on the Final Four and who might come out the big winner before we head on out.
I'm going to try to tail this into a Laker situation.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't mentioned it here. I've mentioned it on Lakers Ball. The sentimental favorite is Duke, obviously. Coach K's last game, possibly. However, North Carolina looks really good. Kansas is a one seed. I'm going to be interested in seeing what happens if Villanova wins, though. If Villanova ends up winning it all, this will be Jay Wright's third title. And if I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm going to be calling him after the season. And I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to call him. I'm going to say, hey, let's go have some lunch or dinner and just get a feel there, see what's up. Because I think that's the guy that would fit in L.A. He is
with LeBron and AD.
Now, that's a good question.
That's
maybe I'm pretty sure with AD, because AD does seem to adapt better. LeBron is the problem. But I don't mind dealing with that problem for a year, letting LeBron break Kareem's record in a Laker uniform, and then letting him, then thanking him and letting him go play with his son. If he makes it.
The problem the Lakers have is that they have so many situations in the front office and the ownership suite and in the sort of kitchen tour of people that are also stakeholders, the Rambai and so forth. Is that there are so many, it's like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. It's like making a compromise. It involves so many different people that have different motives that you always end up with a watered down version of what you want to do. We lack really a visionary on this. You know, I mean, if you've been watching the Winning Time series, it's easy to understand what we're missing right now, because Jerry Buss knew exactly what kind of team he wanted to put out there. Now, maybe his motive was business success and entertainment more than anything to do with the purity of the type of basketball you play, but they just both happened to fall into the right category. And we have an owner who has no philosophical bent one way or another in the game, and we have a general manager who doesn't either. As an agent, he went for talent. And as a general manager, he goes for talent. He doesn't go for fit. He doesn't understand, because he never had to build a portfolio of players as an agent that fit, because he never played them together. And that's something that is a little bit different with Clutch Sports, because there's a point in time, I think, down the road that we will get a guard from Clutch Sports in free agency. And there are some very good guards that have contracts with Clutch Sports.
So we sold ourselves for 5 years to win one title and have kind of wasted seasons with LeBron.
Or could you say we sold ourselves for 10 years with a chance?
Well, how many titles does the Clippers have?
Also that we can, I'll get to that in a minute here, because that's a good question too. Also that we can worry about what might come our way in the future because of Clutch.
Well, it's a lot easier to rebuild when you've got Anthony Davis as your anchor.
I think Clutch is an overrated. I think Clutch is an overrated organization. Okay. Once LeBron is out of the NBA, it will mean diddly poo.
I think that
the name of our podcast today.
Rich Paul probably has saved us from making
diddly
half
poo.
A dozen additional pad. Poor moves.
I want to be wrong on that. I do. I want to be wrong on that one for sure.
I just don't think it's smart to put everything into, like, to be that much of a conduit for one sports agency. Just isn't smart. It's just not smart.
It's
the advantage you have over everybody else. How do you think we got Anthony Davis?
And look at what has run rot. We now have an injury riddle.
I know, but it gave us
power forward.
We could trade him for five or six other players that would easily.
I would recommend doing that this summer.
If you want a revolutionary, if you want a revolutionary,
that's where I'm at, man.
Because he's a Clutch Sports client, he's not going to get traded.
You want the next revolutionary?
Go back to Chicago.
Yeah. Again. Oh well. I will. I'll get back to my first point. You want to be revolutionary, and you're going to need to find a leader that connects to this generation. And right now, one guy is going to be out. Krzyzewski's out in a week. Okay, so he's obviously gone. You got Jay Wright that's left out of that four that I would say would be a great NBA coach with the right seasoning and recipe. So if you guys want to talk about Let's do something that's forward thinking.
We'll speculate on the coach here, you know, in about what, five games left, six games left. So we'll just go ahead and speculate.
I'm picking Villanova and Duke in the final, and I'm picking Villanova.
There you go. Very solid. Very solid right there.
Duke wins, though, but I think it's going to be Villanova.
I know you know UCLA, Tom, and I'm very sorry about that.
Well, I'll always USC. Root for the team that beat my team.
So who are your
picks? Definitely rooting for North Carolina. The way that they finished that game and Caleb's shooting, they're going to be the team to beat. I expect them to win a title, and I think it's a good thing because you have a coach who went into there and played a different kind of game than the traditional North Carolina game, and got a lot of criticism for it early in the season, and his players came through for him and had a great game to finish off UCLA, and I'll always root for the team.
Are you talking about he let his players kind of play freely versus sticking to a system?
I think that there's an element of
– because I think Dean
there's
Smith
an element of having a green light, green light to make a play versus feeling that your play – it's the difference between read and react basketball.
I agree. And I believe in the end, I think Dean Smith, as great as he was, I think he left – at least two or three titles in his career.
You know, Dean Smith and Doc Wooden always had that philosophy that it doesn't matter who we're playing because we play our way and other teams have to adjust. And when you have the top talent in the country, you know, for the combination of the two schools must have 20 titles or something close to that. When you have that much talent, it's easy to say that every year there's they get top recruits.
Well, again, it's the old adage with Dean Smith, who played the best defense on Michael Jordan? Dean Smith.
Right.
So, so Joe's got Villanova. Laker Tom has got North Carolina. Jamie Sweet, who do you have, my friend?
I mean, as nice as it would be to see Coach K ride off into the sunset with an NCAA title, which could happen. You know, Duke's pretty solid. First off, I just want to say I wish all the amateur basketball players well in their careers going forward, if it's not in the NBA.
Well, so, now the money they can make in college now.
Now. A fun little fact about college.
It's changed the whole game entirely, you know.
And it should because it's not. It's.
They have free agency now with the.
If you want to talk about it, I mean, it's not going to get fixed anytime soon. But the collegiate sporting world has been broken for a long time. But that's a whole other topic of discussion. I also have Villanova as my pick. I think that they have. I mean, you know, it's hard to say because these kids, you know, it's funny. You gotta pick one.
I just picked
Villanova for crying out loud.
Okay, because you're like,
what do you mean I gotta pick bets, one? I already picked one.
All right.
He's eager to tell you his pick.
I know. He wanted me to pick.
Well, remember, I'm here in Vegas because if you're like taking your ticket and you're like giving it to the guy right there, and he's like, well, maybe I just no. He'll snatch that ticket and he'll make sure it punch right there for you.
Oh yeah. Don't go to the sports book if you're not sure what you're doing.
Well, I'm kind of sure. Maybe I should hedge.
No, you're in the wrong. No, that's slots for people like that. Go to the slots if you're not sure how you want to gamble.
I am picking, and not because of a sentimentality, it's because they have the most NBA talent that's on the floor, and that is Duke. Simply because of the fact that they
reputation that Dukies have for playing in the NBA.
Totally.
They have five individuals that are being thought of in the first two rounds of the NBA draft.
Duke, where NBA role players go to be born.
AJ Griffin to me is the X factor. He's been someone that's been pretty quiet the first couple rounds, played a little bit better in the last game. If he gives you anything from the outside, that frees up so much for Banchero and so much more as far as for the lobs for Williams and for the guards, for the backcourt. I think that, again, if AJ Griffin plays well, there is no stopping Duke. But that's just me. That's what I'm thinking right now. Because, again, I think they have the most NBA talent, and right now they're the most talented team. So I'm going to go with them. What are your thoughts out there on the NCAA Final Four? Please hit us up on Twitter, at Lakers Fast Break. You can put the comments on YouTube. And thank you so much, as always, to our YouTube followers and everybody that lays comments there. On Facebook, you can also go to LakerHolics.com, LakersFastBreak@Yahoo.com, and, of course, LakersBall.com as well. But guys, it's been great having you here. Our next game is on Sunday afternoon. That's right, Sunday afternoon, because the game is being played at 12:30 on Sunday against Denver at the Crypto.com Arena. It's going to be right there for you on ABC.
Good. We'll be. Our depression will have worn out by this time.
And that's going to be a tough one because you got a team in Denver that is really still finding their playoff spot.
Our diddly pool spot.
There, he's fighting for the MVP.
He's having
a great season. Oh my gosh.
I think he should get it at this point. I would, if you 2 weeks ago, I would have probably said Embiid, but.
We got an MVP conversation. That's closer to
all right.
Did you look at the schedule I sent?
Yeah. Look at the schedule.
Okay.
You know, I'm not much of a rule follower.
Daily reminders that you plan.
I sent these emails for a reason. Okay.
I'd like my.
I don't read emails. Emails read me.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure how to interpret
this crew
that.
Here.
I don't know either, but I like.
If you watch Tropic Thunder, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't read emails. Emails read me.
At the beginning of the season, I had blonde hair, but need I digress. But once again,
you need to dye it again.
114 to 111. All these guys are crazy. Please go ahead and join the crazy.
It's going to grow out.
Monday afternoon, we'll go ahead and talk to you then, right after the Denver Nuggets game. So please go ahead and join us then. We want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the show on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We should just play Mozart's Requiem for the entire podcast and just sit there.
That would be a copyright issue, and I would get a strike.
No, it's not. It's Mozart. What are you talking about?
If it's it would be a copyright.
Oh.
If it's not public domain, they'll take it. Trust me, my friend.
Listen, we can find a Tiny Tyke band playing Mozart's Requiem.
Why don't you flip the video so that you don't? It doesn't count, right? Isn't that what they do?
Okay, come on, Gerald.
All right, we'll be back on Sunday. These guys may be back. I don't know. They're too crazy for me. But Sunday afternoon, after the game against Denver, we'll be back. We may talk a win. We'll probably talk a loss. Who knows? Right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.